Thank you, Miss Rachel. Good morning, everybody. Hello. Welcome to the service. We're glad you've chosen to be here with us. If you're visiting, I want to make a point to send you out as a special welcome guest, and hope you get a blessing today. Let's all begin the song service with the gray book and the old number that we all like. Just a little talk with Jesus, 218. 218. That's good. I felt it right here too. Y'all have lifted me up. What a joy to talk to Jesus. Amen. One song says I can talk to him anytime, Brother Key. Anytime. You don't have to turn your page for the next song. It's right there on number 219. Have thine own way. We need to let the Lord have his own way. Amen. In this service. I want to get back on our schedule there. I just felt like singing a little bit of that song, but I really wanted us to sing a couple of verses of 217. Just turn back one page. Thank you.
That's one of the joys of knowing that you're saved, isn't it? That you have a place to go one of these days. We live here temporarily, don't we? We have places that we call our homes. We have places that we like to say is our dwelling place, but it's all temporary, isn't it? We went to ordination yesterday, and afterwards, one of my first cousins, the oldest one I had, she passed away back a few months ago. She had a home there close to us. And yesterday, all of that sold. All of her stuff that she had, all of that sold. All of that was temporary, wasn't it? And it was sad for me even. I hadn't been around Wendell that much, and she was a lot older than I was. And so I was around her at different times, but it was sad to see her stuff go and to think about that. But as we said, it's all temporary, isn't it? But what we're talking about, I know I have a home, a place, that is not temporary. That's something that's going to be forever. And boy, that's a wonderful thought right there, isn't it? Enjoyed the good spirit in the singing this morning. Enjoyed the testimony already that we've had today. I'm glad that we can get to bubbling over at times. And I know that experience. Of times when that you just get to feeling the Spirit of the Lord bubbling up inside of you, and it just keeps on going. And if you spend a little time with the Lord different times or people that love the Lord, you'll get like that from time to time. And unfortunately, I'm afraid we don't see it near as much as we used to and not near as much as we should. I think it's something that we need to spend more time with people that love the Lord, with more people that wants to talk about the Lord and just talk about praising God. All of that works together, and the next thing you'll know, you'll be bubbling over is what you'll be doing. And so I would encourage every one of you to take some time and just spend time with people that love the Lord, spend time with God Himself, just spend time worshiping Him, and you'll get to feel that bubbling spirit once again inside of you. Has everybody got to enjoy that at one time or another? You should have, especially when you got saved. And that's one of the best times that we have, that we just have that bubbling spirit about us. And what we like to say is, the Bible calls it a lively hope, and that means a living hope. But what we're talking about, it just keeps working up inside us is what it does. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing for us to have today. Good to see everybody. Glad to have anybody that's visiting with us today. And our crowd's down just a little bit. Different ones are sick, and we'll ask you to remember them in your prayers later on. But we need to be prayerful for this service today. We're going to go on into our service today as far as our children's church. Kids, if you'll come right over here, we'll meet on this side today. Come right over here. I'm glad to see all of you over here today. I'm glad to see each one of you. Can I trouble you to do something for me? First, it's easy. Each one of you, I want you to tell me your name, okay? Thank you. Those are all good names, aren't they? You like your names? Oh, I see one frowning. I remember hearing people say, even some of mine didn't exactly like their names at times. But I want you to know something. You got a special name, and it's a good name. Now, what I'm going to bring to you is out of Proverbs 22nd chapter, and I think it's the first verse. It says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You see your name as being worth more than, oh, we'll say $1 million? Think about that. Y'all don't even know what $1 million is, do you? It's actually your name is worth more than all the money that you can ever touch. It's good. Your name is something else. Not just because it's Sarah or Ben or something like that, because it's your name that you build up. You know, every one of you are special in my eyes. Do you know that? You know, there's certain things about each one of you that I see that makes me know you and know what you're thinking. Well, I ain't going to say thinking, but makes you special in my eyes. Now, let me give you an example. When I start talking to Ben about his basketball game, there's a smile that comes on his face, and there's a little brightness that comes in his eyes. That's special to me. When I speak to one of the other girls, Zoe, for instance, caught you by surprise, didn't I? Something like that is what I like to see out of her. Same thing out of Emma, Callie, Sarah, Hope, Cohen, every one of them. You see, you've got something. I see the good side of you all the time, don't I? Well, most of the time, maybe. Maybe most of the time. But you're special. And you've got a good name, not just because of the name your parents gave you. But, you know, every one of us see you and they think that's that special child. You're special. And your name, now I'm going to take the opposite side of this. Do you know you can destroy that good name you have? No, not take erasing the name Ben or Hope One. But, you know, you might do something someday or another that people might look at it and say, oh, that's that Hope child. Oh, Lord. Now, I'm just picking on you. No, I'm not expecting you to do that. But, you see, they may have looked at me one time and thought, oh, no, that's that Ricky. You know, there was a time I was not the best fella. And there was a time that maybe I didn't have the best name among everybody. Paula had a teacher who says it takes a lifetime to build up a good name, but it only takes 1 second to tear down that good name. Always take pride in who you are. Always take pride in the fact that you've been raised like you're being raised. Brought to church. Word that you could hear the truth and be saved. Always take pride in the very thought that I'm a child of a king is what you are, you that have been saved. Always take notice of that. And always try to live up to that good name is what I want you to do. Okay, I'll hush. I'll let you go. But take that into consideration today. We appreciate each and every one of you being here today. And I'm thankful for all of your good names today. And thankful for you being here today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer today. We had several prayer requests during Sunday school. But if anyone has another prayer request, we would love to hear it today. Brother Key was mentioning, and it's already been mentioned today, Brother Barry Witcher, he's one of the workers as far as Do Re Mi is concerned. He had heart surgery today. We'll mention him. Brother Rick Jones, I want to mention him also. He's one of our missionaries that's done a lot of great work. And basically what he did a lot of mission work and set up churches. But now he's in the latter days of his life, and they had to take part of his foot off or toe off yesterday or this week. So remember him. And Brother Benny Maggard is another preacher, a friend of ours. I mentioned him the other day. He's got a lot of problems, and in some ways it seems like he's getting about ready to move on over. But he said, I'd love to be able to see my grandkids get saved. And I pray that he does. And so whatever the Lord's will is for him. But anybody else got a prayer request upon your heart? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lord, help. That's right. Yes, sir. I pray you get good news before the day's out, especially before you even get home. Let's do remember Allison. If you've got your list in your Bible of the ones to be praying for, write her name down, please. Somebody else.
Pray for my grandfather. He's been out of church for years, and it'd be nice to see him back in church.
Lord help. Let's do remember Brother Landon's grandfather, that he get back in church. Somebody else. How many of you know somebody that used to go to church, but they don't no more? Pray for them today. Somebody else? Let's all go to the Lord in prayer today. We'll call on one to start our prayer. I hope you'll be praying for me, that if it's the Lord's will for me to stand and preach today, that he'll give me the message that you all need to hear. So y'all be prayerful today. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Leslie, would you lead us in prayer at this time, please?
Thank you, thank you. Let's continue our singing with number 164, 164.
Thank you.
few pages to 213. Had a request, and I appreciate that. I appreciate people sending me songs that they've had on their heart, because sometimes my inclination doesn't always line up with everybody, but we'll try to do this one, number 99 in the blue book, and I appreciate this request that came. 103? 103?
Appreciate everybody being here today. Go back to your song, if you can, if you remember what number it was. And I can't turn. My favorite verse of this song is verse 3. And this is why I like it. And when I think that God his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Thank the Lord that God, in his infinite love, didn't spare his Son. Anybody got a word on your heart this morning, word testimony or anything? Let us always follow the Lord. Do what he wants us to do. It doesn't matter about time. That's God's time. And I realize that many of us have things to do today, but it's still important for us to give God his time. And so let's always follow him throughout our service, whatever it might be. We may think, well, it's not that needful. I'll just be taking up time for the preacher. It's not the preacher's time. It's God's time. So let's follow him. I do want to say this today. A lot of times I don't mention that the altars are open for people to come and pray, but they're always open here. I guess I ought to be better habited of saying that they're open, that anybody's welcome to come and pray. But especially for those that are lost, you're welcome to come and pray at these altars, to make an altar. Where you sit even, you're welcome to do that, because it's needful that you seek out God today. Let's remember the ones on our list that are needing our prayers, the sinners that needs to get saved. I heard a man yesterday, he requested prayer for, I believe it was a family member that was sick, but then he said, I have a granddaughter that is sin sick. And he said, that's worse. And that's true. We do need to remember our elderly ones, the ones that are sick, and they are in need of our prayers. But if they're saved, they're not as bad a shape as these that are unsaved. They're in a terrible condition, so let's keep them on our hearts today. Anybody got anything on your heart this morning? Turn, if you will, to the 69th chapter of the book of Psalms. 69th chapter of the book of Psalms. Put your finger there. Put your finger right there. And then turn over to Matthew, the 26th chapter. I'm not going to read Matthew 26th chapter, but I'm going to call to your attention what happened. And basically what I'm going to say is, it seems like last Sunday with this Sunday is a series, but it's in reverse. Last week we talked about the pain, the agony of our Lord. Today we're going to continue that. I hadn't intended that, but when I started studying Friday, I came across these verses here in Psalms, and it reminded me of what happens here in Matthew 26. Excuse me. In Matthew 26, we have the Lord's Supper is instituted. Then Jesus goes down into a garden to pray. He carries his apostles with him, 11 of them. Judas had gone off to betray our Lord to get the ones that would come and take Jesus. But these 11 went with him. And as he gets to a certain place, and what the scripture tells us is that this was a favorite place of his to pray. Do you have a favorite place to pray? I do too. But Jesus had a place that he liked to pray at, and it was here in this Garden of Gethsemane. Now, if you'll remember the story, it says that Jesus going into the garden, he told the disciples to stay and wait right there. But he took with him Peter, James, and John, and they went just a little bit farther, and he told them to watch and pray, is what it said. And then Jesus went on just a little farther. Here in Matthew it doesn't say it, but in one of the other Gospels it said he went a stone's throw. Now, my stone throw, if I'm really throwing hard, that's not very far. I wondered if it was just like a little toss. Probably was. But it might have went just even farther out to where that he could pray. And I think especially Peter, James, and John heard what he said for a little while. Now, it says there that he prayed, and he said, let this cup pass from me, is what he said. Now, let's go back to Psalm 69. I was studying and looking for what God would want me to preach today. And I came on these verses here today. And it reminded me of the Lord praying. It's not the same words, but I guess you might say I kind of got into the place of feeling what Jesus felt at that point in time. Jesus had already pointed out to the disciples, even though they did not recognize it, who was going to betray him. Jesus was at the point that he knew that his time here on earth was drawing nigh. He knew that he was fixing to be crucified. He knew that all of the people that had been praising him and lifted up his name just a few days before, saying Hosanna unto him, he knew that they were fixing to say, crucify him. Yeah, he knew all of this was coming. Do you know, well, I want you to just imagine what he had on his mind when he went there in the garden. Yes, he prayed to the Lord, let this cup pass from me. But let's look today as to what else might have been on his mind and what may have been in his prayer. I don't believe that was his entire prayer, because those disciples heard that. And then if you notice, he went to sleep. They went to sleep. He come back and woke them up and said, could you not watch 1 hour, is what he said. In other words, he prayed for an hour. He said, could you not watch 1 hour while I prayed? And then he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went again and he started praying, started out the very same way, and then found him asleep again. Did that 3 times, actually. But let's go to Psalm 69. We're going to start with verse 13. We're going to run down through these verses, and we're going to try to see what was probably in the mind of Jesus in these days. Of course, the writer of Psalms in this time, I didn't even look, see who wrote this one. It's a psalm to the chief, it's a psalm of David is what it says it is. But David here is speaking in a way that he lets a little bit of agony go out of him. And he says in the 13th verse, but as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in the acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. When Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he wanted to talk to the Father there. I believe Jesus had access to the Father every moment that he is here upon this earth, just like we do. We just don't take advantage of it like he did. But right now you're looking at Jesus in a period of time that is more necessary in the mind of Jesus than it's ever been before. That's kind of hard to think about when you go back and you look at the fact that if after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, that Satan came to him in that day. That's kind of hard to imagine when that people were taking up stones to stone him. But now Jesus was in a point of praying to God, and it was right now the time accepted. I want you to remember something. God sent Jesus at the very most proper time that there ever was for him to come into this world. He could have done everything years before, even 100 years before. He could have done it thousands of years later, but it was the right time, is what the Bible tells us that it was. It was the right time. It was the acceptable time that he needed to be there. It was the acceptable time that Jesus needed to be there in the Garden of Eden. It was the acceptable time that he needed to be praying there. Notice it says in this 13th verse, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. Remember what Jesus said there? in the Garden of Eden, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. That is the Lord himself asking for mercy in that day. His body knowing the pain and the agony of what was fixing to happen. No doubt in times past, he had came into Jerusalem going by this hill called Golgotha, seeing individuals that had been crucified in that day, maybe even some of them still alive in that day. He saw their pain. He saw their agony. He saw the things that were happening to them in that place. He not only saw what they were going through, he probably saw the people that were after them in that place. No doubt there was individuals in that day was crying out for the justice that was coming upon them. They were crying out and saying, you are to be ashamed for your wrongdoing that you did. Now, going on into the 14th verse, it mirrors what Jesus said. Deliver me out of the mire. Deliver me out of this time. A mire is a muddy situation. It is a place in which that the treading is hard. I believe that Jesus in those moments and in that time, it was like a sticky, muddy pit on that day. He was trying to get through what God had instituted for him to go through in that day. But it was something that was hard for him to tread through. And what he says, let me not sink. Let me not be let me be delivered from them that hate me out of the deep. My friends, today, when Jesus was here upon this earth, in that day, Jesus realized that there were individuals in that city that hated him. Now, in my day, they said hated his guts. That meant even the very inward parts. They didn't say that about Jesus in that day. But my friends today, they hated everything about him in that place. And Jesus, knowing this, felt this sorrow in this place. And Jesus would be just like every one of us in this day. If somebody said they hated us, we wouldn't like that, would we? We wouldn't want them to hate us. We would want to make amends with them as quickly as we possibly would, or we would seek revenge one for their actions. That would be the thing that would come to our mind. But did Jesus seek vengeance upon them? No. Did he seek a mercy out of them? No. He sought to love them even more. Let me find the scripture that I've got in mind here. Where in Isaiah 53:3, he said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not, is what the scripture is telling us about Jesus. Now, when you think about Jesus there in the garden, knowing all of these things, remember that he also had told his disciples, you're all going to flee from me. You're all going to deny me. Peter, being bold in that day, said, Lord, I'll not deny you. I'll even die for you. And Jesus turning to him and saying, Peter, before the cock crow, in other words, before morning at this time, he said, before that rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And Jesus, knowing all of these things, What do you think he felt like? He said, let not the water flood overflow me. Now, that usually means falling into a flood of water in that time. But can you imagine the flood of emotions that was going through Jesus? I want you to remember something. Jesus was God, but he was also man. The emotions that you have, Jesus had. And the emotions of the day would have been for him, oh God, I don't want to do this. Oh Lord, it doesn't matter about these people. I just don't want to suffer through this. Would that not have been our thinking in that day? If we knew that everybody was fixing to turn on us, if we knew our own closest people were going to betray us, if we knew that the people that had praised us just a few days before was going to cry, condemn him to death, would we not think to our minds, Lord, get me out of this as quick as you can. It doesn't matter. But he's saying, let not the water flood overflow me. Neither let the deep swallow me up. Let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. My friends, today, as we think about the people's mouths that were closing in on him in that day, he was suffering so much pain and agony. You'll remember that one of the Gospels even said that the sweat fell from him as great drops of blood upon from to the ground. So heavy, I don't believe that it actually meant that it was red with blood, but it was so strenuous of a time that his sweat fell heavily upon the ground. The disciples, those three especially, saw that sweat as it fell from him, being so great, being in so much agony in that time, him being willing to say at the very end of it, Lord, not my will be done, but thy will be done. He goes on and he says, hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. In that moment in time, you refer back to that prayer that we know that he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Oh my goodness. Lord, let this cup pass from me. And if there's any way possible, if there's another way of salvation, in the book of Galatians, we've talked about it a little bit in our Bible study, how that the Lord, when he was instituting the law, if there'd been a law given whereby man could have been saved, God would have given it. But the law could not save. If there had been any other way that man could have been saved, God would have given it. But the thing that was required was Jesus. And the very actions that he took. Jesus said, or rather, the psalmist says, and hide not thy face from thy servant. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus thought in that moment in time that God had hid his face from him. No doubt he thought he was completely alone. And truthfully, I think he was. I think he was completely alone there with something upon him that he had never experienced ever in his life. And that was sin. He bore our sins upon us. I want you to look with me, if you would, to the Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and look at verse 2. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God today. He is still at the right hand of God. He is there as our mediator to bargain, if you would, to talk with God, saying when that we are seeking him out, when he sees the faith that we are putting toward him, he says, Lord, that's it. That's when he put his faith in me. He's trusting me. Now save him is what he says. He is that mediator in that time. He said, draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Buy it back, he says. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known of my reproach and my shame and the dishonor, and my adversaries are all before thee. When Jesus was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew that soon that he would be in Pilate's hall, and there he would have all of his adversaries about him, and there they would cry out to him, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate would say, I find no fault in him. They were all about him. Do you think Psalmist David actually saw this prophecy? What Jesus was going to go through? Now, in your Bibles, they put a star in most of them beside the prophecies of the Bible about Jesus. And most of these verses do not have that. But Psalmist David prayed a prayer that mirrors what Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. He said, his shame. Do you realize that it was a shame for a man to be convicted? It's still a shame today. If somebody breaks the law, they are convicted of it. It's a shame for the family. The family should never be should be proud of an individual's conviction for a crime. But Jesus had committed no crime in that day. But yet, he was condemned to death. The Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. You'll find that in the book of Deuteronomy. We quoted the other night in Bible study. But he said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Yet Jesus was hung upon a cross, upon a tree, if you would. Cursed is that individual. He was in that place. And what he said, my reproach, my disgrace is coming unto me, unto you, God. My shame. He was stripped of all that he had, didn't he? They bargained, didn't they not, for his clothes. They cast lots for him. They took everything that he had physically and took it away. It was a shame. It was a reproach. It says in that his dishonor, I think it was, yeah. And my dishonor, my adversaries are always there. He said, reproach. Reproach hath broken my heart. I am full of heaviness, and I know for some to take, I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And my comforter, but I found none. Now, that reproach up there, his disgrace. Think about Jesus hanging on the cross. Him being disgraced as he was. The Son of God. the true King of Kings, hanging upon a cross, according to the scriptures, naked before all that was there, hanging in that place, in that disgrace, hanging in such a way that everyone saw him in that place, hanging and doing these things. It broke his heart knowing that these things were coming upon him in there in the Garden of Gethsemane. It broke his heart just to think of the troubles that was fixing to come upon him. It broke his heart to know that he was taking my sins upon himself. It broke his heart to know that his disciples would betray him, that his disciples would forsake him. It broke his heart. It would break all of ours, wouldn't it? And Jesus was just like us. When he got down to the very place, have you ever tried to imagine the trial of Jesus? Stand up there looking at it from his perspective. Him without sin. Him not having any fault. He's already been beat upon. He's already got the crown of thorns on his head. They've done shoved that in there. Herod had scourged him. So he's already been whipped once. And yet he is standing there before the people. And nobody takes pity on him. I've often wondered, I'm satisfied that Mary, his mother, had fathered him. I don't know if any of the others had fathered him or not. But I in my mind, I would think that his mother, being there in Jerusalem at that time, I'm satisfied that she probably followed them to the Pilate's hall. And when they hollered, "Crucify him," she was probably one of the few that had pity on him. But he had mercy on us. He had mercy on those that were about him. Remember when they had nailed him to the cross? "Father, lay not this sin upon them." I've said it many times over the years. Yeah, he was speaking about these soldiers. He was talking about the ones that was there close by, the ones that had put him there. But he talked about me too. I've tried to give you what the Lord gave me today. Thinking about Jesus in the garden and his prayer and the agony, the sorrow. Most of the time we put it there on the cross. But all of that started, I think, even before Gethsemane. Probably even started the very day that he was born. Throughout his life, he was about his Father's business, wasn't he? And he knew that was his end that was coming. We just get a good picture of it in Gethsemane, in the 69th chapter of Book of Psalms. We get a good picture of what he was going through. While we stand and sing today, Brother Sam, if you're here today and you want to take advantage of what Jesus did for you, he had your sins on him too. He took all of that upon him so that you might be saved. If you're here today and you want to seek the Lord, right now is the best time you'll ever have. It is. It's the best time you'll ever have is right now. So while we stand and sing.